But anyway, so he calls out of the blue, and this is what he said. He said, God told him that God uses Satan to perfect his people. God uses Satan. Satan is a pawn in God's hand. Nothing happens to God's people at the hand of Satan apart from God's very limited, very temporary, partial permission in order to perfect us. And he was explaining this to me in great depth, and I was like, I really need to hear this, I really need to hear this. And then he said, the Lord showed me that when he was flogged, I couldn't believe he was saying this, like within a day of me thinking these thoughts, which I had never thought before. He goes, the Lord showed me that the Lord's heart wanted to give up under the brutality of the flogging, and he wanted to just let his spirit go then. He wanted it to be over. But the Lord showed my friend that if he had not stayed alive and kept his heart beating and kept himself fighting through that agonizing encounter and walked all the way to the cross, our sins would not have been atoned for. He made a point to call me and tell me that. And I go, I was just wondering about that. I was just like, Lord. And I could feel the Lord's sovereignty over this conversation and how this person that we almost never talk, he lives far away. And, you know, it was just so strange. He said, you're the first person I called. And he goes, I can't wait to go home and tell my family. You know, but he had to tell me that. And I realized, and I prayed about it the next morning in my coffee talk, because he had called me on a Sunday night. And I prayed about it the next morning in my coffee talk, and the Lord said to me, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He said, it is written. He said, if my heart had expired, he said, if I had given up and breathed my last under the brutality of the flogging, I would have not been hung upon a tree. And all the curse that lies over the earth because of what Adam and Eve did would never have been laid upon my body. And you and the entire world would be dead in your sins if I had not continued up the hill to the cross. And that was really huge to me. He couldn't just die. He couldn't just be stoned or scourged. He had to be hung on a tree. Because it is written, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Haman was hung on a tree.
Do you think that has to do with the apple coming off the tree?
No, and it wasn't an apple.
No, but I meant the tree's symbolism type.
Well,
thing.
It's interesting that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is what started all this.
Yeah.
So yes. Yes, I thought you meant the apple doesn't fall
for. No, I meant the tree.
Right. It's interesting that there were two trees in the garden, Janet. I think you're making a very profound point here. There was the tree of life, which man rejected. And there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, most Christians might think, well, the good part's okay, but the evil, that's a problem. No. The knowledge of good, apart from union with God, is more dangerous than the knowledge of evil. What do I mean? There is a lie that hangs over the entire earth, which is the curse. This is the lie. There is a goodness apart from God. There is life and energy apart from God. There is ambition, plans, dreams, technology, innovation, cures, knowledge, wisdom, travel, apart from God. There is a tree of good that is the goodness of man, which is humanism, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what brought the curse. Adam and Eve tasted that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil because Satan said, when you eat that, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil just like God does. But we were designed to be in union with God in an intimate, childlike intimacy with him where we have no goodness apart from him. We have no energy or plans or ambitions or hopes or dreams apart from union with him. We have no goodness in ourselves. Why do you think there's no democracy on the earth that has worked except for America? Because our society was not founded on the goodness of man, but on the law of God.
Amen.
And President Bush, in his noble childlike heart, said this to the world: "We will set Iraq free from tyranny, and they will become a democracy." He meant this so well and beautifully in his heart. He thought to himself, if we free Iraq from the tyrant Saddam, all mankind basically just wants democracy and freedom like we have in America. And if we just get Saddam out of there, the Iraqi people will come together with the goodness and the love of freedom that is in their hearts, and with that inherent love of each other. And they will be, I know he thought this, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. He wanted that for Iraq. That's why he is spilling the blood of our sons and daughters out of that noble dream that Iraq would have been indivisible under God. But he made a mistake. Now, I believe he was supposed to go into Iraq. I'm not saying that wasn't God's will, but I'm saying his thinking was missing one thing. There is no nation in the Middle East whose society is founded on the Ten Commandments except America. The only reason we have functioned as well as we have this long, now we are becoming a lawless, godless society, but we functioned this well this long because our law was founded on God's law. Iraq has no such foundation. So when Saddam left, lawlessness just exploded. And the Sunnis started blowing up the Shiites, and the Shiites started blowing up the Sunnis, and the Kurds were being blown up. And violence erupted, and now even our Pentagon is admitting Iraq is in civil war. That's the opposite of indivisible. Civil war is divided. How could they have a functioning, loving democracy without the law of God? Why are they lawless? Because they hate God's law. And I think this must